I'm thankful, and I appreciate as you said there, brother. I've never really thought of it that way, but it sparked my heart as you said about the fountain of youth. And you know how it's very sweet in the Song of Solomon. You know, he's like the young roe. And that's that young buck. And God always gives us that kind of passion as we go after him. And that love would just never grow old. Amen. And it grows mature, but it always has that. You know, I love how he says he kind of looks through the lattice at you. You know, he's just peeking. And I think about how that youthful love and that exuberance in the Lord just always inflame my heart like that. I need to have that because then we grow cold. I always remember Brother Ken Geese would always remind us how they used to say, God help us never to be mossy back saints. You know, you sit in the pew so long and everything moss grows on you. You know, you just sit there and you never move. And I always appreciated that guy I was fishing with. He says, oh, you're one of them spirit people. I said, I tell you. He says, well, you know the difference between you and me. And he says, because I'm Baptist. And I said, well, what's the difference with that? He said, well, this is how we worship. And he said, he got his hands underneath him and he sat on them. And he said, this is how we worship. He says, but you know, I'm breaking free. And I said, well, that's good, brother. I said, you'll feel a lot better, you know. But I sure appreciate it, and it's been good. Praise the Lord. Let me read you a couple announcements here. Baby dedication, God willing, will be next Sunday, if the Lord tarry. There won't be any children's church classes on Easter morning. Then we'll have baptism service that evening, so be praying for that, and there won't be any classes on next Sunday night. And we are going to start at 6 o'clock next Sunday night, 6 o'clock next Sunday night. And we'll send a little email out for that as well. I mentioned about the Ladies Fellowship Retreat May 13th to the 15th at Grace Chapel, and then they're having their fellowship gathering on April the 2nd at Grace Chapel too, and that's out there in Carbondale, Kansas. So we'll just trust the Lord for that. Continue to pray so much for Sister Clark. She hasn't been well. Precious sister. And really just lift up all of the brethren and these pastors, thinking of Brother Golden, Brother Sadbury, Brother Hawkins, Brother Smith, not Brother Smith, yeah, think of Brother Smith, but he's home in glory, but Brother Hines, and then Brother Clark out there as well too, and there's many others, and we just thank the Lord for the passion of the truth. Isn't it wonderful? Praise his name. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight. And we'll start in Hebrews chapter 5. And in Hebrews chapter 5, we'll read verse 11 through 14. Paul says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. See, saying those things wasn't hard. It was who he was saying them to, because they didn't want to hear. Yep, kind of hurts your heart, doesn't it? For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, I am so thankful for Paul's gospel. I am so grateful to God. And how that precious message, that precious mystery that was hidden from the sons of men, that mystery that now has been fully made known to us, grows us up into him in all things. I thank the Lord so sweetly that we have this marvelous fellowship with Paul's gospel, the marvelous fellowship to dine at such a rich feeding table, all because we follow Paul as he followed Christ. I thank the Lord that by his grace, and it's his grace alone that has done this, that we're not chastised as Paul is. He's again getting after these brethren about giving up the feeding on the strong meat. And aren't we glad that we glory in His grace that has given us over so many years an insatiable appetite for strong meat. Praise the Lord. I thank God for it. And again, it's not to at all flatter ourselves. It's to thank Him. It's to give Him all the glory that, Lord, You have encouraged us in Your truth, that we want to, again, not just the good or the acceptable, but the perfect will of God that's been offered to us. That absolute completeness of all Your perfect and complete will that would grow us up into the fullness and the stature, the very measure of Christ. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for that. As it says in 1 Corinthians 2:10, that yea, the deep things of God by His Spirit. How wonderful. Praise His name. And, you know, I just am grateful to God He has taken us this way. But here He's reminding us to thank Him and to pray, God, in Your wondrous grace, let us not neglect so great salvation. Amen. And what great salvation it is. I mean, as it goes into, what is that, 1 Thessalonians 5 there, that, you know, we're not even meant, and we're not meant for the tribulation. He doesn't want us to go into that. You're talking about complete salvation, even saved from that time. And I thank the Lord that we can receive that absolute encouragement. And brothers and sisters, I pray that there wouldn't be a fear in that. You know, you don't fear that you're not going to get married. You expect to marry that person that loves you. Amen. If you ever go into a marriage and you were fearful, it wouldn't be right. You wouldn't be ready. That love wouldn't be right. So there's a completeness in that love. That's that perfect love. It's complete. And even naturally speaking, the Lord gives us that example in when we would wed someone. How much more so in wedding the Father, Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's going to be a perfect, mature love. She is going to rest in Him. And He, as it says about the virtuous woman, He rests in her. There's a rest in Him for her, and it's a comfort. And I thank God that it is so mutual in that. But by His grace, we don't neglect this great salvation, but we give the more earnest heed to these things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I've said it many times. I've heard different ones over the years. As you're talking to them and maybe encouraging somebody, you know, why don't you come to church a little bit more? And I'm talking about people that really know the truth. Well, I've heard that. I know it. Well, I believe you've heard it. But knowing it in that intimacy, I'd have to say that we wouldn't be that way. See, that's a complacency. It's just like, you know, we said before, even in a you know, you don't just go to get married. You want to dwell together. That's why the wife hath made herself ready. She's dwelling with Him in marriage in type right now. That there is that assurance and that love. And praise God that you are shut up to Him. You are a vessel that is set apart only for the Master's use. And we thank God that He encourages us this way. But see, God help us not to be complacent. God help us to be always appreciative that we really always treasure and glory and rejoice that God has given us and given us the ability by His grace to feed upon the strong meat. We know, brothers and sisters, that we can be know-it-alls. We know that we can be unteachable. We need to pray, Lord, let my ear that You've given me hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And I pray that we're always wanting to hear the Word of God. You know, in that where we will go here tonight in Scripture, Lord willing, Paul, you know, they were kind of in the church of Corinth. They were saying, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, you know, I'm of Apollos, I'm of all these things. No, we're of Christ. And we're of that Word of God, and whatever vessel the Lord would have bring forth that truth. By the grace of God, I pray that we would listen to what the Spirit saith to the churches. You don't listen to me. I don't have anything to tell you, but Jesus does. And the Spirit gives utterance. And that's the confidence that I have. And that's the confidence we need to have, that He is faithful. He will not leave us nor forsake us. We know that, again, He's for us. And if He be for us, who could be against us? And God, as He always does, He gives us encouragement all over the place. He's witnessing to us in everything, isn't He? I do. I always ask Him, Lord, just let me pay attention even a little bit more all the time. When I drift and start to get selfish, that's when I quit paying attention. When I think about me, then I'm not paying attention to what His ministering is to my life. And you know what I'm saying. And when we get locked down into that ugliness, and God help us to look around and see this wonderful examples that He gives us. But there's testimony that is so right before our eyes about the necessity of feeding and continuing to feed upon the strong meat. And know this too, when the Bible talks about strong meat here, that means firm meat. And I love that stuff with consistency, you know. And I think about where it talks about that firm, and you think about those that would feed upon that become the Philadelphia church. And you know what He says about that Philadelphia church? That we'd be made a pillar in the house of the Lord. And you think about the pillar, you know, the pillar is, you know, attached right there to the foundation that helps that support, and absolute in the necessity of the building. And I thank the Lord for it. You don't realize oftentimes what God is doing, the supplying that He brings through especially bridal saints. All the part of the body is wonderful. We understand that. But remember, we're talking about a bridal company, which is a separate body from the body. And praise the Lord that we can be encouraging to one another. And I pray that those, anybody that's in tune with the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm talking about yielding to it, you appreciate beyond words, everyone that would be running for God's best. So I want each and every one of us to know that faith that He's given you to go after God's very best, there isn't a greater testimony or encouragement that anybody could bring, any life could bring. It's because it's that passion of the full and the whole counsel of the bridal message is in you. Praise His name. So in that testimony that He gives us, I was encouraged of something my wife had mentioned the other day that I went back and looked up, and I said, oh, yes, I remember that now. But if we give up solid foods as adults and would just go on to liquid diets, you know, basically for too long, do you know that your teeth will rot? It's the truth. Your teeth will rot. Now, if you don't brush your teeth, they probably would too. But I think that, but they say that even if you try to do the things you need to do, if you don't eat food, and the reason is because solid foods produce an enzyme in your mouth that your teeth don't rot. Believe that. And it's interesting. Solid foods also strengthen the jaw and the muscles that hold the teeth in, keep them tight, and things of that nature. Now, I'm not talking about going out and chomping on jawbreakers and things like that, but, you know, good, healthy food. But it makes those teeth more secure and healthy. So we're encouraged that we don't just feast upon the strong meat for a little bit, but it's always, it's continual. And that's what even God has shown us in our own natural lives. And you know, brothers and sisters, when you neglect the Word of God, and I'm talking to ones that really know this, and again, it's just by the grace of God that's with you. When you neglect the Word of God even for a couple days, it's like you're not even eating food for a couple days, you know what I mean? You know, and in praying and worshiping Him and taking that time throughout the day. And I've just been encouraged in my life to continue to be encouraged. You know, God had brought me to a place where I needed that fellowship because of a trial. And I've sought the Lord. Lord, I don't want to ever leave that fellowship because it was the most beautiful place. I don't want to just have the trial to keep me in it. Why would we want to miss that? You know what I'm saying? But He'll bring things in our life. We know that we'll bring different facets of that worship and that fellowship that we have. But see, we know that when we neglect the Word of God, we get weak. But God forbid when you step away from the deep things of God. You know, this portion in Hebrews kind of makes you go back and think about the Galatians. And remember how Paul told them? He said, you know, you ran well. You ran well. But he said, you know, who hath bewitched you? And we know that in that case, those brothers and sisters had gone back into legality. They were pursuing things that they would be perfected by the flesh, as opposed to, wait a second, didn't you begin in the Spirit? Well, I believe you did. Well, you know what? It's going to be the Spirit that gives you the increase. It's going to grow you up too. The grace of God never changes. You're saved by grace. You grow in grace. And you're going to be perfected and completed by the grace of God. There's nothing else that will do it. It has to be the grace of God. We are His workmanship. Every one of us out here, every single child of God, you're a little lump of clay. And I have challenged you many times. You tell me what that little lump of clay can do. Nothing. By the grace of God, thank you, Jesus. It receives the water, it receives the oil, it receives the hands of the Master, and we're molded and made after His wonderful will. And He gives us that precious example. Now, we can refuse those things. You know that we can. We can neglect that, and we can neglect so great salvation. We can become hardened. We can say, well, I'm going to refuse that. And this is what I'm getting at here, is when ones that have feasted upon the strong meat, let me tell you something, to whom much is given, much is required. And I've seen it over the years, and you have too. And in our own lives, like I say, just weakness that comes when we don't get into the Word of God. But I've seen people that have departed from the deep things of God. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Every time you depart from the deep things of God, there's a bewitching that happens on your life. It's true. When it's such a privilege. It's a fellowship. And when we lose that love and that fellowship, when we back away from that, things grow cold. The coals need the coals. We need to be encouraged in the Word of God continually. We're very weak. This flesh is very sinful. It has no inkling to ever yield to God. It has to be Christ in me. It has to be Christ in you. And that life needs to be fed. That's why, again, all throughout the Word of God, you'll hear about grow up, become mature. Whether it's Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, all the way through from the Old Testament to the New, it's to grow up, to be the mighty men of God, to be not just a daughter, praise God, or not just a little sister, but to be that fully complete and finished woman, that precious bride, that readied wife for Jesus. Amen? And that is, praise God, that encouragement of that feeding. But see, it's well known as well, too, children that stay on bottles too long, and it was sweet. I think Brother Joe was telling me about his grandson. You can have rotting teeth, and you get on that too long, your teeth will rot. And they've also found, I'm not trying to pick any fights with different ones about different things with feeding your children. But it says truly that solid food presented earlier to children helps strengthen their gums, their jaw, just like it does an adult, in a sense, keeping it healthy. But here's one other thing it does when kids can get into solid foods a little sooner. It actually gives more room in a mouth. So if they're feeding upon solid foods more quickly, it'll make that mouth, in a sense, larger. Now, I know you're thinking, well, my goodness, I'm never going to feed my kids solid meat. I don't want them to have any bigger mouth than they have. That was a bad thing to say, wasn't it? But you can't imagine what comes into my mind that I have to pray about all the time up here. But as you feed upon strong meat, as they feed upon solid foods, that mouth, that capacity becomes bigger. And what happens with that is there's more room for the teeth to grow. They have more spacing. Teeth aren't as crowded. And they found out that teeth that actually have more spacing are stronger teeth. They're easier to clean. And they don't become weak. Isn't that something? And they've attributed that to children oftentimes that have been introduced to solid foods sooner. Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. Feasting upon strong meat creates even a bigger vessel. Isn't that the truth? Amen? As you feasted upon strong meat, have you just stayed in one size? No, you haven't. You increase. And you increase the more for Him. It's that wine that comes into the wineskin. It just keeps increasing. And we thank God that's what He does. There's more capacity. There's more room. Praise God. And you think about going over to Song of Solomon 4:2. Could you imagine that you would have so much room in a mouth, in a sense, in a mouth for feeding upon the word of God, that you would have two rows of teeth? In Song of Solomon 4:2, it says about that Shulamite woman, it says, "Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn." They're perfect, which came up from the washing. I think about that again, as it said that there's more spacing there in those teeth when you eat that solid food, and they're easier to clean. Praise God. And they don't have that, again, that chance to decay as much. "Wherefore everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them." So it's two sets. That mouth is so big. Praise the Lord that there is so much there that she feeds and grows and has that capacity to grow. And we know in that courtship with the Song of Solomon, you think about all throughout that, it's where he always wants her to feed with him and where she's feeding. And come back around here. I want you to feed in my garden. I love this. It's always about eating. That's why a lot of bridal saints are a little heavy. Did I say that? But it begins from his mouth and his kisses. I just kind of tease with that. And they come in all shapes and sizes for him. Amen. But they're fat sheep in the spirit. See, that's what I was meaning. But it begins from his mouth. And you think about how it begins in the Song of Solomon. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." And that's how we have a beautiful mouth. Because, you know, but for God, our tongue is poison. It is. It's something that's unruly. It cannot be tamed or anything of that nature. But when we are receiving the kisses of his mouth, we're so equipped, aren't we? And I thank the Lord that his mouth is lovely. His mouth is true. It's encouraging. It's spiritual. It edifies. It brings spiritual encouragement to one another. And that's why we need to be feeding upon the word of God. That's the kisses of his mouth. When we're feasting upon truth in love, not just truth in how smart I can get in the word of God to come and condemn you, because that's not truth in love. That's just being something of ourselves. But when I feast in truth and love, I'll be used of the Lord to edify you. That means spiritual encouragement. I'll be spiritual in that regard. And that's a good barometer, isn't it? When we're harsh with one another, when we continue to try to inflict pain or gossiping and things of that nature, your truth and love life is on the low. We need to be encouraged in the spirit, don't we? And that's that tenderness, and that's where I was thankful today and thinking about the power of his resurrection. It is. See, that wonderful Holy Spirit, when he sheds the love of God abroad in our heart, there's such a tenderness that happens there. He just plants that love, and there's a chastening in that love all the time because it's Jesus's love, and it continues to change us from glory to glory. And how are we ever going to change if we're not chastened? Amen. Because we do. It's a correction, and it's encouragement correction. You know, a lot of people think of criticism as a bad thing. You know, there can be good criticism and that type of thing when it's positive. And just like good coaches, you know, good coaches don't just get perfect players. You know, they get players that have so much ability, but they coach them and they encourage them. And they bring out not only the best in them, they help them to be players that they could have never been, not even ever imagined to be. How much more so our wonderful Father, and how he matures his sons and giving us the very power of his might. Now, come on, you talk about we have every provision, but then the power for that full provision to come forth in our lives, that we live in all the fullness of his glory. How beautiful and wonderful that is. But see, this courtship is where it's at. And again, it's that feeding and the kisses of his mouth. And once again, no, it's all by the word of his grace. That is what equips her with everything, even the ability to have teeth or even to chew. It has to be his grace. It's his mercy that's done it all. You know, we've heard for many years in this place, and I could always thank the Lord for hearing it, how Brother Hill would talk about the cow, and she would go and chew that cud underneath that tree. And she would just sit there and she'd chew and then she'd swallow and get down to another chamber of a stomach and then burp it back up and chew a little bit more. And boy, he'd really get real specific and graphic to where, You know, if you had a bad breakfast, you were feeling a little queasy at that time, but you knew what he was talking about. And as you went on with the Lord, you know, you really can appreciate and be thankful. I was thinking about all the things that our precious pastor knew and saw in his heart and how much he wanted us to share them. And I thank God that there was that desire in his heart for my life and for your life, for every life. Because let me tell you something, when you're a pastor under the love of God, there's no dissimulation in that love. You just love people and you want them all to have God's best. And there's, as God says, there's no favorites. You just want them all to run. And I need to run well. We all need to. But I thank God. And one of the things, and I mean this very sincerely, I was grateful to the Lord to be able to take things that the Lord used that vessel and different vessels, teachers that I had. And as they could see the light going on and knowing that they were used of the Lord. I remember precious Dwayne's daddy, Brother Austin. He'd grab me every once in a while as he'd see me grow. And he'd say, oh, you're a jewel in my crown. You're a jewel in my crown. I'd say, oh, what an honor to be a jewel in your crown, Brother Austin. And, you know, again, here a little, there a little, from all of these things. And I believe by the grace of God, what he's doing in our lives, brothers and sisters, and I pray we understand this and really know that we're a jewel in one another's crown. We really would be, if we really truly are, in that harmony, tightly fit, compacted together, in that kind of oneness, it's just altogether lovely, isn't it? Amen? That's a oneness. And now your head exploded, and I can't explain it anymore, and we'll have to wait for him. But that is, you know, so true that, you know, we just sit there and we chew and we enjoy this, and as the word that we would get masticate upon that. And I was thankful to God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appreciate Brother Paul. As he said this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 14. And I'm getting back to, again, that thought of that strong meat. He says here, I thank God that I baptize none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. See, Paul never wanted to have any credit to himself. That's why he said so sweetly, so powerfully, Lord, you must increase and I must decrease. And you think about possibly the thorns and different things of that nature. Let me tell you something. You know when the Lord does something mighty in your life or something of that nature, the enemy will come in there to try to get you a puff up of pride just right there. Boy, it's such a wonderful time to just hit your knees and just praise God and say, Lord, truly, a little bit more lowly, amen, because I just want to see you in that in grander vision all the time. And that's truly what it is. It's a wonderful thing. He goes on to say, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That always encouraged my heart. So many meanings there. And I know as it comes off of there, from what is before there, it's speaking of being puffed up. He didn't want any man to be puffed up because Paul preached to him. He didn't want to think, you know, and you know how meetings can get. And I'm talking about meetings that preach the whole counsel of God. Oh, I'm of brother so-and-so's church or sister this and that type of thing. Let me tell you something. You go to Living Waters Tabernacle. That's it. And I thank the Lord. This is a church in Denver. Amen? Praise God. I love that. And that's what it needs to be. And I believe God has said it that way because that's the desire that we have upon our hearts of our precious Savior. And I thank God for that. But you see, I love that it magnifies here many things in this. But I love how Paul brings out here, you know, I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach the gospel. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? To preach the gospel. Now let's define, let's let the word of God define what Paul's preaching the gospel is. You know, this wasn't just any gospel. We know that Paul said he's going to judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. That gospel that Jesus Christ gave him. Amen. That dispensation. Amen. So go on over to Acts. And let's just rejoice as we go tonight in the gospel that you have, in the feeding that you have. And as we know, brothers and sisters, Paul's gospel ministers salvation. Don't ever think it doesn't. It's got it all. But praise God, it lays that foundation, and immediately it says, go on. Amen? We don't need to relay that again. We go on. And I want those people to feed upon the depths of the gospel of Christ. That's why Paul so coveted, and in a godly sense, just really wanted that fellowship with those saints that loved the gospel of Christ. He didn't like, in a sense, to be moved out of those towns. You know, God had him there in Corinth, and, you know, you could sense in those words, and he even said it, you know, Lord, why am I here? You know, they don't want this thing. They're fighting and all of this and puffed up and all that. Let me get back to those, you know, saints, the Philadelphia saints at Ephesus and things of that nature. Because he wanted to dwell with them. He wanted to be encouraged by them. Praise God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. I'm thankful to God when we can witness to someone about giving their heart to Jesus. But I'm really thankful to God to preach the gospel of Christ to you. And listen to what this gospel is. Go on over here to Acts chapter 20, verse 27. And we know these things. And as Paul said, and thank God that you know these things. In Acts 20, 27, Paul said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is the whole counsel of God. Paul's gospel, if you go back into this chapter, into verse 20, and isn't that 2020? Paul's gospel is 2020 in the gospel. It's perfect vision. Think of that. That is good, isn't it? Just gave that to us, huh? All right. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. That's perfect vision. That's the whole counsel of God. That is nothing withheld. Nothing overlooked. I didn't try to size you up. I just preached to you the whole counsel of God. He sent me here to plant, to water, but I'll tell you one thing. I know who gives the increase. It's God. And we're so thankful that he gives the increase. And we see that Paul's gospel is the strong meat. Paul's gospel is the full buffet. And you know this, and I've seen it many times. Babies, they can eat at a buffet. They can eat that strong meat. But even children, they'll go in there and they'll begin to throw around the food in no time. You know, you got to watch them. But then there's the eaters. And they get in there and they feast. Praise the Lord. And may we be like that. But you see, we have to have those teeth. And the teeth need to be continually used. They continually need to feed. Amen. Why do you believe that the Lord would say, assemble yourselves, gather ourselves, the much the more, as we see that day approaching? Because he knows. He knows. And he wants us ready. But see, that continually feeding on strong meat that Paul encourages us. I love this translation of Proverbs 12:27 as we close. In Proverbs 12:27, it says, the lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. The diligent feast or feed on the riches of the hunt. And I love that. And I'm thankful to God. We need to pursue him. Draw nigh unto him. He'll draw nigh unto you. He pursues us, we know that. But by the grace of God, think of that Shulamite who we talked about. She pursued him, didn't she? Where is he? Yeah, I've been a little complacent here and there. Maybe I didn't respond right away, but I'll tell you what, I want him. And when you want him by the grace of God, you know what? You're going to find him. You will. You know how he is. But he's no hard to get. But I love that, the diligent feed on the riches, the riches, the riches. Do you realize the riches that we have? Nah, we really don't. But we're moving into it. But see, I know him. And the riches is his love. And by the grace of God, we're growing up and knowing his love. The dimensions of it, how powerful it is, how perfect it is. The training in it, the patience in it, the tempering of our lives in it. And in all of that, yes. But how he continues the joy. Praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord, your strength. That precious love. Praise God. I'm thankful he's given me some good spiritual teeth. And I want to keep feasting on the Lord. Like I say, God help us that we wouldn't make void the grace of God that is given to us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.